Our text for the sermon this morning is the resurrection account from the Gospel of Mark. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. Every month or so, I like to change the wallpaper on my computers. These wallpapers tend to reflect my mood at the time. It may display a Bible verse that touches my heart. It may even be a funny quote from Facebook or words from someone famous, or maybe even a picture that reflects the current season. Well, last Saturday, I changed my wallpaper to an Easter theme, and now my office computer displays a painting by Simon Dewey titled, "He Lives." You may not be familiar with the artist by name, but I do believe you probably have seen this painting. It shows Jesus dressed in glorious white robes, stepping out of the tomb. His right hand grasps the doorframe as he looks heavenward. If you close your eyes, you can probably see him. Off to one side is a stone, round in shape, propped up against the wall, the side of a hill, a foot or two higher than the entrance of the tomb. It's a very large stone, and I'm sure it would take a couple people, a couple of strong men, to get it rolling down the groove to the front of the tomb. Notice that it is designed to stop right in front of the entrance. Note also the rocks on the front of the tomb to keep it from tipping over. Can you see it? This tomb could very well have been what the tomb in which Jesus was placed actually looked like. Joseph of Arimathea, a fairly wealthy man, could have had a tomb just like this, with a circular stone in front, waiting for his burial. When he put Jesus in the tomb just 3 days ago, no doubt with some help, he would have pushed the stone and started it down the track. You can imagine the sound it would have made when it suddenly stopped in front of the tomb. Thud! The stone in front of Jesus' tomb was very large, Mark says in our gospel. It was huge. After it went thud, it was not going to be moved without a great deal of effort. Can you imagine how strong the men would have had to been to push it back, up the hill, out of the groove? No, when it went thud, it was meant to be there to stay. Or so it seemed. But we've been looking at that large stone from the outside. Can you imagine what it had been like from the inside? You hear the stone grinding against the face of the hill and its rocks. Slowly, the entrance disappears. Then comes the sound. Pitch darkness in the tomb. Silence surrounds you. Life is over. Done. It is finished, including some of the most memorable and enjoyable moments experienced in life. Jesus, too, had moments that were special to him. One such moment was when he ate with his disciples. Imagine the laughter, the companionship, the chatter, the sounds of food being dished out on plates, soft noises of utensils being picked up and set down. Glasses being filled, and then listen as someone swallows whatever was in the cup. Other meals with tax collectors and sinners would have made the same sounds, perhaps more boisterous, or maybe even more polite. One day, Jesus pulls apart some bread and breaks up some fish, and a crowd of 5,000 eat their fill. That many people equals a very noisy meal. The noise of eating and being together with those who are following him had to be some of the enjoyable sounds that Jesus enjoyed the most. But all that came to an end with a thud. The stone rolls in front of the tomb. Everything comes to a halt. His disciples have run for their lives. Two men, Joseph and Nicodemus, have risked everything to bury him. And some women have stood at a distance to see where they have laid him. His body is covered with darkness and surrounded by silence. He is dead. Our large stone is in front of his tomb. But very early on that Easter morning, all that changes. The women are coming up the path to anoint Jesus' body with spices to cover up the odor of death. But they aren't strong enough to move the stone. They're ready to take care of the body, but they have forgotten one important detail. Who's going to let them in? When they get there, that small, well, actually it's a very big detail, has already been taken care of. The stone, that large stone, has been pushed away. In Matthew's account, it says an angel did it. We just don't know the mechanics of how that stone was moved, but I imagine it was no trouble at all. I imagine it was like, you know, when you see that cookie crumb on your shirt, and you just take your fingers and you just flick, and it's off. You just flick it away. It's gone. From a loud thud to a small flick, the tomb is open. The women are amazed and afraid. The angel is there waiting for them with a message. The heart of the message is this: he is risen. The body is not in the tomb anymore. He is alive. And he's going to meet his disciples, just as he said he would. Now that message is huge. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is larger than any stone. No stone could keep him in, no matter how large. And the women go in, no longer to anoint the body with spices, but to hear the words that will loom large for the rest of their lives: he is risen. And just as he said he would, Jesus meets his disciples over and over again during the next 40 days. You hear about these get-togethers in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. During a couple of these reunions, Jesus does something that just looks so ordinary. He eats with his disciples. He picks up a piece of fish and eats it. He has breakfast with his disciples on the seashore. He isn't some ghostly figure. He is flesh and blood. The scars are there for Thomas to touch and to believe. What a meal that would have been. Hushed tones at first, amazed gasps, then the chatter and the hugs. The noise of joy would go louder as Jesus turns disciples who have deserted and denied him into men of courage. He turns women who are terrified into messengers of hope. The sounds of a meal and a reunion with Jesus change everything. The simple message, he is risen, is larger than any stone, than anything that could ever keep him from his followers. Jesus rising from the dead is a huge event in history, and it is in our lives too. In the garden, the devil rolled the stone of sin in front of our hearts, covering the tomb of our lives in silence, blackness surrounding a lifeless body. Our hearts and our lives are like that closed tomb. Dark, pitch black, no light at all. The psalmist tells us that, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Paul tells us in Romans that there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That all that Paul's talking about? That's you and that's me. We are sinners. And the stone looms large, too large for us to do anything about. And sin not only brings spiritual death, but physical death as well. We all will face it. Can you hear it? The sound that it makes, The pastor says, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Each shovel of dirt goes thud, thud, thud. Then everyone leaves, but grief and sorrow remain. Someone sits down at a table to eat, and an empty chair stares back. No sounds of laughter. The plate is in the cupboard. Utensils sit quietly in the drawer instead of clanging on the table. The glass is on a shelf instead of a drink being swallowed. Someone is missing. A voice has disappeared. The stone looms large, too large for us to do anything about. But not for Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Through the water and the word, Jesus reaches into our lives and rolls away the stone of sin. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit takes us from the darkness of the tomb and a lifeless body dead in our sins to a shiny and vibrant new creation in Christ. United with him in our baptism, we share in his resurrection. Because he lives, we live also. And because he lives, we have the hope and assurance that the day will come when we will return in glory and in power. The silence will be shattered, the darkness undone. He will come to your grave, to the graves of all of us who have followed him. The dirt, like a tiny crumb, flick, away it goes, and out we come. Bodies alive once again, hands and feet that will hug and dance, eyes to see the beauty of God's creation, ears to hear the songs of praise that will make our loud and joyous Easter hymns seem like a whisper. And we will eat. The meal is described in the Old Testament reading, rich food, drinks that will burst upon your taste buds with absolute delight. I'm heading straight for the ravioli, with a side of roast beef and mashed potatoes drowning in gravy, and lefse, maybe even lutefisk. For dessert, I'm hoping for the apple crisp my grandma used to make, with some oatmeal cake on top for good measure. It will be a feast, a banquet, a meal so large you will never be hungry again. And we'll be surrounded by those who love Jesus. We'll be laughing and we'll be talking. Listen to the noisy celebration. All because Jesus is larger than the stone. Isaiah says that the Lord God will swallow up death forever. Tears will be wiped away from our eyes. Nothing will stop Jesus on that last day, the day of our resurrection. Yes, the message is simple. He is risen. But it changes everything. It is larger than any stone, than anything that could ever keep us from Jesus and that incredible feast on the day of our resurrection. But not just on that last day. Jesus' resurrection is larger than any stone every day of our lives. How so? Because now some of the smallest sounds are larger than the thud of a stone. Listen to the sounds of baptism. I baptize you in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Spirit. No stone, no matter how large, can keep us from Jesus Christ, for he claims us in baptism and makes us one of his own. Hear the sounds of Holy Communion. And on the night in which he was betrayed, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, for this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. No stone, no matter how large, can keep Christ from coming to us in Holy Communion. Where he strengthens our faith, where he forgives our sins, and where he gives us eternal life. Hear the sounds of someone reading the Bible. There's no stone so large that can keep Jesus from coming to us in his word, where he promises to be with us till the very end of the age. Listen to the joyous hymns that we sing today. No stone, no matter how large, can keep those who love Jesus from singing his praise. Listen to our prayers. No stone, no matter how large, can stop Jesus from comforting us in our times of grief. Listen to the cans of food being put in a collection box for the hungry. No stone, no matter how large, can stop Jesus from feeding his people through our gifts. Listen to the laughter as you sit down to eat with family or friends for Easter breakfast or for Easter dinner. No stone, no matter how large, can stop Jesus from giving us a glimpse of the feast to come. Listen to the question that the women ask as they walk to the tomb. Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Now listen to the answer. No stone, no matter how large, can stop Jesus from entering our tomb, whether it be our hearts or our grave. And no stone, no matter how large, could ever stop Jesus from leaving his tomb. So this morning we listen and we respond to the words of that angel, words proclaimed some 2,000 years ago. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.